Welcome to a special episode of The Allegheny Front. Thousands of coal miners have lost their jobs in Appalachia since 2011. Many of these miners helped elect Donald Trump, in part because he promised to protect their jobs. What will happen to these folks if and when coal mines are no longer needed to power the U.S.? Will they leave their homes in search of other work?
I won't move. I love Greene County, and I got ties here, you know, my kid and everything. I'm just not leaving.
The struggle to stay in Appalachia. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple. You might remember hearing from Dave Hathaway on our show last year when he lost his job at a coal mine in Greene County, Pennsylvania. We heard what Dave and his former coworker were doing to try to find work, applying for training programs and cutting grass. But what about Dave's family and what's been happening with Dave recently? The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier has been keeping in touch with him over the course of the past year to find out. Today, we're going to bring you that story. It's a collaboration between the Allegheny Front and West Virginia Public Broadcasting's Inside Appalachia for their series Struggle to Stay. Here's Reed Frazier.
Dave Hathaway has lived in Greene County almost all his life. Except for a brief stint in Colorado when he was a kid, he was born here, went to high school here, and he never really thought much about leaving.
Do you think you might have to move?
I won't move. I love Greene County, and I got ties here, so, you know, my kid and everything. I'm just not leaving. I mean, I'll travel, but yeah, I'm not leaving.
For Dave, there's one obvious answer to why he needs to be here. His son, Grant Hathaway. He's 11 years old.
Wanna play five-card draw?
Living in the same county means Grant can visit the house where Dave lives with his wife, Ashley. Grant is Dave's son from a former relationship. Grant lives with his mom, but has a room at Dave and Ashley's house. It's crowded with toys and video game paraphernalia. His most prized possession? His set of football cards.
I love football cards, and my favorite football card is probably my Marcus Mariota autographed card. And
what do you like about collecting football cards?
I don't know. It's just the sound of opening the cards.
Greene County has been the biggest coal-producing county east of the Mississippi for years. And Dave grew up in a coal mining family here. His father and his father's father were all coal miners.
Pretty much everyone you knew was a coal miner. I mean, everyone's dad was a coal miner at the time. And, I mean, heck, I used to have Kennywood days for coal miners, and it was just awesome. I mean, it was like they always had picnics, and it was just a big coal mining county, really.
Dave eventually became a coal miner himself, taking a job at the Emerald Mine in 2007. He at first didn't see himself going underground, but after working in the mine for a while, he thought of it as the greatest job in the world. He loved the camaraderie of the people he worked with, his union brothers. It was also just a place to get paid well for doing hard work. But then came the bad times. Coal began to lose market share to natural gas. Around the country, thousands of miners lost their jobs. And eventually, so did Dave. I met him a few months after this happened. He was at a meeting for out-of-work coal miners in Greene County. He'd applied to about 50 jobs by then, all online.
Pretty much everything, from prison to casino, gas field, just anywhere.
And any bites?
Zero. Not one phone call from any.
Over the years, many have left this part of the world in search of work. The population in Greene County, like much of the Appalachian coal region, peaked in 1950 at 45,000, and since then, it's slowly declined. Greene County is now home to just 37,000 people, and every year, that number gets lower and lower. Some of the other miners who were laid off from the Emerald Mine were considering moving out of the area to look for work, but not Dave. Staying in Greene County meant being able to watch Grant grow up and do things together, like going hunting. During turkey season, Dave sent me a cell phone video he had taken of Grant lugging a dead turkey that looked just about as big as Grant.
What'd you do today?
Go to turkey.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let me see it. Nice.
And it means getting to take Grant to his wrestling matches. Dave took me to one of Grant's wrestling meets at a middle school gym not far from his house. There are lots of parents in the stands and a few bored-looking teenage girls in the back row staring at their phones. We get there during warm-ups. There are dozens of boys in wrestling singlets squirming around, grabbing each other and trying to pin each other on the mat. They are literally just grabbing any limb they can during warm-ups, whether it belongs to a coach, a parent, a little brother. Dave walks around the gym saying hi to various friends of his, people he knows through Grant's wrestling or just friends he's known for years. When the matches start, the fathers of each wrestler sit on a fold-up chair at the corner of the mat alongside the wrestling coach. There's a lot of yelling. These are instructions for the young wrestlers to grab an opponent's ankle or hip. Sometimes the mothers get in on the yelling too from the stands. I give Dave a look, like, what is going on?
This is nothing, man. If you go to an actual tournament, it's insane. There's probably most of them have at least 400 kids wrestling. So times that by, you know, the parents, grandparents. It's insane.
Grant is pacing around in his blue singlet. He bounces on his feet, trying to keep loose.
How you feeling, Grant? Doing okay?
Yeah.
When it's Grant's turn to wrestle, Dave takes his afforded seat on the mat. Dave used to wrestle, so he enjoys the opportunity to pass on what he knows to his son. He doesn't say much. He mostly just stares at the match and calls out one or two instructions. The match is over pretty quickly. Grant gets pinned. When the boys at the tournament lose, a lot of them get incredibly emotional. They have to hold back tears, and Grant is no different. After Grant's loss, Dave tells me Grant has been growing lately, and he's moved up in weight class. That means he's wrestling against bigger and better wrestlers, and the kid who beat him is one of the best in the county.
But that dude's an animal. He's a complete animal.
He's wrestled him before?
No. No, we bumped up a weight class, so that's what we ran into.
That's what we ran into, someone bigger and more experienced. In a lot of ways, Dave can relate. Being without a job, he'd been experiencing this sensation a lot over the course of a year. He's decided to stay in Greene County because this is what he knows. This is where his life is, not just Grant, but his parents, his wife's family, and all the people in that gym. And coming soon, yeah, another child. But without a job, how will he be able to stay here? We'll find out in a minute. You're listening to the Allegheny Front.
Our nation is watching and hoping for the best for the people of Texas and Louisiana who are underwater and trying to deal with the devastation Harvey has caused. It's going to take many months and billions in federal dollars to get back to some semblance of order. But many in these red states traditionally have been skeptical of the federal government, particularly when it comes to environmental regulations, even in places where they're most needed to protect the people who live there.
We're not deplorables, we're hardworking taxpayers that are tired of the corruption and the giveaway programs.
On this week's episode of the Trump on Earth podcast, we talked to a sociologist who spent 5 years with Tea Party and Trump supporters in Louisiana to find out where they're coming from.
Sometimes you had to give things up. We couldn't always have what we want. And it was in that spirit that she said, pollution is the sacrifice we make for capitalism.
The Red State Paradox. That's on the latest Trump on Earth podcast at trumponearth.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Trump on Earth is a co-production with Point Park University's Environmental Journalism Program. That's trumponearth.org. As we just heard, Dave Hathaway has a lot of reasons to stay in Greene County. But last year, he got one more. His wife gave birth to a baby boy, giving Dave a big incentive to stay close to home. The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier picks the story back up.
What do you say? Can you talk yet? You can't talk. You're not even saying much. Dave's situation changed a lot when his wife Ashley gave birth to the couple's first child. A boy. They named him Deacon. Ashley was working and Dave wasn't, so Dave watched Deacon most days. I visited a few months after Deacon was born. Inside their two-story house on the edge of the town of Waynesburg, Dave is feeding the baby out of a bottle in his living room. The NFL Network is on.
Oh, dude, hammered this. Uh-oh. This is the most he ever ate.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I filled it
up. When I first met Dave, he had a short goatee. But now he let his beard grow out.
I like when he gets milk drunk and just passes back out. A little coma.
Dave joked. He called himself the Manny. Like nanny, but with an M. Get it? Manny?
You proud of yourself? Huh? You proud? Let's burp. Get a burp. Don't puke on me.
So how you doing changing diapers and everything?
Oh, okay? Yeah, that's... I was a pro on the first one, man. Yeah. Pretty good. It doesn't bother me. The dog crap bothers me worse than...
But Dave is still looking for work. I gave Dave an audio recorder and asked him to record himself. He'd made this recording of trying to get in touch with someone about a job application he'd submitted a while back. You can hear Deacon in the background.
And I've been trying to... get a hold of these people for about 2 weeks now.
Please leave a voice message for.
And once again, no answer. And it's the story of my life.
All this time, Ashley continued to work for the coal company. It had gone through bankruptcy and was now called Contura. Ashley was hired at the company out of college. Like Dave's dad, her dad worked at the Emerald Mine too. She said when she first started, it was a good place to work. But the mood dampened when the mine started laying people off.
They would slowly lay off the office people as well. Just seeing people leaving in the way that they did it. I don't know, it didn't seem like the same place as I started.
She says it's been tough at home, too, since Dave got laid off.
I mean, we've survived, but having a new baby was definitely, it was a blessing, but it's hard because you have to think about him now and you're spending more money because of that.
By this time, Dave had been without a steady job for 10 months. All the while, he didn't find a single promising lead for a job that could replace working as a coal miner. Compared to a lot of people in Greene County, coal miners make a lot of money. Dave made around $33 an hour at his mine. The yearly take-home is around $75,000 a year, and it can get up into six figures with enough overtime. While he was looking for a job, he only saw offers for the kind of low-wage, low-benefit work that's available in a place like Waynesburg, like a part-time job at Home Depot or Lowe's. He wouldn't take a job like that because he said he could lose the health benefits he was still entitled to for the first year after his layoff. So it was just Ashley's income, unemployment for a while, and he was cutting grass to make a few extra bucks. Still, Dave didn't really think about moving away to find work. He loves Greene County, and his son Grant lived nearby with Dave's ex. And Ashley, too, wanted to stay here. Her family lived in the area. Eventually, Dave's unemployment ran out. He started to get worried. It wasn't just the money. It was also feeling he was unable to provide for his family, which, as a man, he felt was his responsibility.
For, I think, the man of the house not to have a job is pretty disheartening. I mean, it's a hit to my ego, really. I mean, Ashley's the breadwinner. I mean, it's cool she has a job, but, I mean, I need to chip in.
Then one day, he was offered a job working at a warehouse. The money would have been decent, and it wasn't at a mine, so he wouldn't have had to go underground.
Which I'm not scared to go back underground, but if I don't have to, I don't want to. Yeah. But that's it, man. That's the only, out of a whole full year of applying for jobs, that's the only company that's called me back on anything. I mean, that's anything, including Walmart. I haven't went to like fast food restaurants yet. But I might have to go flip some burgers, you know what I mean? But as of right now, we're still making it. I figure probably in a month or so, it's going to wear on us. So, we'll see.
Are you like burning through savings and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's already ripped through. Pretty much. I mean, we probably have maybe like 2 months with our bills and everything, and then everything will be wiped out.
I should probably mention this was back in 2016. You might remember Donald Trump was promising to put miners just like Dave back to work. Throughout the campaign, Dave told me he wouldn't vote for either Trump or Hillary Clinton. He said he didn't trust that anything Clinton said was what she actually thought. And Trump said outlandish things and seemed like a wacko. That was Dave's word. Trump was in favor of coal, but Dave questioned if the president could really bring the industry back. Dave still held out hope he would get rehired by the coal industry, but it didn't really directly relate to the campaign. You see, Dave is in a union, the United Mine Workers of America, so when his mine closed, he was basically put on a waiting list for another union mine nearby. His old company still owned the Cumberland Mine, a few miles from his house, and they were still under contract with the union. Eventually, Dave could be offered a job there. Eventually. But he had no idea when or if, and he was pretty far down the list.
Now, I mean, I'm on the panel for Cumberland, but I'm like, my seniority, I'm probably sitting there like 70. So, yeah, I don't think I'll ever see Cumberland. I'm not even really, like, that's not even, like, a main focus for me. Like, it's actually, like, way down on the totem pole for me. I'm not hoping for it.
As the year wore on, he saw his number get smaller and smaller. And so, feeding an infant on his knee, he kept putting in applications and wondering if the Cumberland Mine would call. And eventually, they did. But more on that in a minute, when our show continues. This is the Allegheny Front.
Alcoa, one of the biggest aluminum manufacturers in the world, is moving its headquarters back to Pittsburgh. And aluminum is getting new life as a lighter choice for some of America's favorite products.
We like to affectionately refer to it as the miracle metal because it does have some pretty incredible properties and sustainability.
But how green is aluminum? I'm Julie Grant. Join me next week as I look into the climate impacts of making aluminum and what the industry is doing about it.
That's next week on the Allegheny Front. Coal mining is a tough way to make a living. Layoffs are frequent. And jobs outside of coal mining in places like Greene County, where Dave Hathaway lives, are often low-paying. So what happens when Dave is offered a job to work out of state for good money? Our special Struggle to Stay with West Virginia Public Broadcasting continues. Here's the Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier with the final installment.
Dave was still looking for a job. It was coming up on a year since he'd been laid off. He was still on the waiting list for a job at the Cumberland Mine and was getting close to losing his health insurance from his last job. Here's a recording he made at the time.
Doesn't seem like they're hiring anybody anytime soon, so I'm still waiting on that. My money's running out. My wife's probably going crazy. I'm sure she is.
After starting around number 70, his name was now somewhere around number 20 on the waiting list at Cumberland. Dave had been at Emerald Mine for 8 years, and by the time the mine closed down, he'd secured an above-ground job operating heavy equipment. To him, being above ground was better. For one, it was safer, and he just considered it a higher status job. Dave had plenty of gory stories of people getting injured by rockfalls or close calls he had had as an underground coal miner. One time he thought he might get electrocuted by a faulty wire in a pool of standing water. If he got called back to Cumberland, he knew he'd be back underground. But at least he'd be in Greene County.
I mean, I still don't want to go back underground, but I don't have a job. I mean, it's great money, great insurance, and I need that.
He's determined to stay in Greene County, close to his 11-year-old son, with his wife and now his new baby boy. His wife Ashley is working, but Dave's starting to feel desperate. Dave and Ashley spent the next few months watching the waiting list at Cumberland, and Dave followed up on leads for other jobs. Here's Dave in November 2016.
Well, we have a new president in Donald Trump. What do you think?
He's making this recording while Deacon, his newborn, sits on his knee.
I don't know. He's supposed to bring back jobs, create jobs, and bring back the coal. I mean, I hope it does happen. Realistically, I don't see it happening. I mean, it's probably better for the coal market that Hillary Clinton isn't in there. That's for sure. But I don't know what kind of power Donald Trump has to bring that market back.
You can probably tell from hearing him, Dave isn't entirely enthusiastic about the American political system. Throughout the campaign, he seemed lukewarm on Donald Trump. He called him a wacko, even though Trump was pro-coal. At one point, he said he wouldn't vote for him. But in the end, he did. He was a coal miner, after all, and Trump said he would bring back coal.
Hopefully, he proves himself right, I guess, and brings it back. That would help me and my family out, and hundreds of other families, probably thousands of other families.
Late in 2016, he got a job offer for a company that was doing blasting work. He'd found out about the job when he ran into someone he used to work with at Emerald Mine.
I was walking a dog, and he driving up this road and stopped, and he asked me what I've been doing, and that's when I was still cutting grass.
It involved working underground, but it paid really well, $40 an hour. But there was a drawback. He'd have to spend 4 nights in another state, away from his family. The job was in Maryland. It would mean leaving Ashley at home by herself to take care of their newborn son, Deacon.
And it was a day shift, but it was 4 days gone, like I'd be staying in a hotel. I mean, it was kind of hard to pass up, but I mean, we agreed that I pretty much had to do it because I don't have any funds coming in now. But yeah, I mean, I was dead set on going. I had to go buy a razor for Like you had to have a clean shaven face and.
But then a few weeks before Christmas, just before he would start his job in Maryland, Dave got word from Ashley that someone from Cumberland's Human Resources office was trying to reach him. He called back and left a voicemail. He had a good idea what the call was about.
So I called back and no answer, left a message, and she called back probably an hour later and told me it's going to be a good Christmas.
Dave was offered a job at Cumberland as a general inside laborer. He accepted. Dave had told me in the months before that he really didn't want to go back underground, but this was his way to stay in Greene County and support his family. If he never had to go underground again, he'd be okay with that. As for Ashley, she said she was used to Dave being underground.
Ashley, how do you feel about him going back underground?
It's a scary job, but that's what I grew up with. Like, my dad and my uncles, they were all coal miners. So I'm kind of used to the fact that it happens, but I wish he could have found something else, but nothing compares to the pay at all. And right now, and the benefits, we were so lucky having our baby this year and still having his insurance because we didn't have to pay a penny. So that was great.
Free baby.
Yeah. Yeah, usually you're paying like $5,000 for a baby.
You got a cheap baby.
Dave would be going back into a mine. There were a lot of questions. Would it be safe? Would the job last? But all those could wait. For now, Dave was home, and he and Ashley could pay their bills. And that was all they could ask for now. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier.
You can read more about Dave Hathaway's struggle to stay at AlleghenyFront.org. Have you ever left home or wondered if life would be different if you left your community? West Virginia Public Broadcasting's Inside Appalachia is following six people as they decide whether to stay or go in the Struggle to Stay series. That includes finding out what happens to Dave Hathaway when he goes back underground.
That was the first midnight shift I've worked in over a year. That was pretty brutal.
So I am homeless, jobless, with $10.
At the end of the day, I don't know if I'll stay.
Because it's hard to want to stay here, in my opinion, because it is so rough.
Listen to The Struggle to Stay each week on the Inside Appalachia podcast or visit wvpublic.org. Thanks for listening to this week's Allegheny Front. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Allegheny Front. And don't forget about our Trump on Earth podcast. That's at trumponearth.org or wherever you find your podcasts. Kathy Naur is the executive producer of our show. I'm Carol Holsoppel.
Support for the Allegheny Front comes from the Heinz Endowments and the Park Foundation. The Richard King Mellon Foundation supports our coverage of conservation.